Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and Friends. This show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now.
Let's have a good morning. My guys, your host for Market View guest, my very good friend, Mr. Tim Wood. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing good, Ike. Trying to get over a cold. Other than that, Happy New Year. Doing good. How about you?
Same thing, same thing. Well, Tim, we're at the beginning of the year, and you know, I'm curious to hear your thoughts regarding two or three things that you believe are worth monitoring throughout this year.
Well, Ike, the number I laid out, with it being a new year, I just did a research letter, you know, looking at the year ahead and the things I'm looking for, but. It, you know, to summarize three things, the number one top of the list is the setting up for a downturn out of the six long-term economic cycle that I've identified. And then within the context of that, I need to see the proper structure for the, you know, the cyclical peaking of the Dow Jones Industrial Average to cap this four-year cycle top. And then I need to see some of my specific, you know, I call them DNA markers, but common occurrences that occurred in conjunction with a typical four-year cycle top. And, you know, just an example of that was, you know, back in August at that peak, you know, I didn't have, there's an intermediate term AD line non-confirmation or intermediate term AD line that I have tied to a four-year cycle to help identify the top. And, you know, I didn't have what I needed there at the time, so I knew that we should see that August high better than we have. So I got to check all the boxes for the four-year cycle top, and I want to see evidence of, number one, this peaking of this long-term six economic cycle.
Would you like to elaborate?
Sure. On the long-term six economic cycle, it is something that I discovered kind of by accident, but what I have identified is a long-term cycle going back to 1800. And there's been six cycles over the last, that last 223 year period. And what I have discovered is that the downturn out of those long-term cycles is, you know, it's quite an important affair. To give an example, the first downturn that occurred was in 1819, 1819, and you know, it was followed by a highly speculative period of skyrocketing prices. It's described as, you know, farm prices were soared, wildcat banking, and once the downturn came, the deflationary downturn, you know, out of that cycle bit, it's reported that farm prices went back down below the previous point before that speculative period began. There was a second downturn, a second panic. You know, that back in the day they called them panics and crises. They called it the Panic of 1837, and this was also it also followed a speculative lay-in period, early railroad and banking speculation, et cetera, et cetera, and again a collapse in. They said that was America's first economic collapse or financial collapse. Stocks were reported to have been down over 60%, and you know, it was banking issues, et cetera, et cetera. And so that was the two financial crises associated with cycle one. What I had also noticed is that there's typically been two financial events like that associated with each of the downturns of one of these long-term economic cycles. Cycle two occurred with the crisis of 1873, and it was described as, you know, coming after the war, and the crisis took hold following, again, you know, highly speculative periods, associated with the war, currency inflation, and, you know, again, there were issues with the banks, run on the banks and that sort of thing. So again, same sort of situation that caused that panic or led to the decline out of that cycle. The second occurrence within cycle two occurred in 1893. It's like one crisis happens, and then there's this little lull period, and then you get the climactic move with the second crisis that takes you down into the final low of that cycle, where you begin to, you know, wash the excesses and turn up. But anyway, cycle two was the panic of 1893, and again, it was the same thing. History writes that it was associated with a injection of paper money, the bursting of the railroad bubble, run on the banks for in the U.S. Treasury for gold and paper. Said rejections, you know, the bank in the U.S. Treasury rejected those payments. It said that there was closure of over 500 banks and 15,000 businesses were lost during that time. So, again, we're talking major financial disturbances. And then the third cycle came after World War One, and again it was on the heels of, you know, a speculative period and an overinflation of credit, et cetera, et cetera. And it did result in a deflationary downturn. But, you know, the Fed, they were able to stem that deflationary spiral to some degree. But it says that, you know, severe deflation did in fact still follow. And then the grand finale with that cycle, which needs no further explanation, but it came with the Great Depression in, you know, 1929. That was the second crisis within that third cycle. Now the fourth cycle, it peaked in 1966 with the, you know, the stock market, the 1942 to 66 bull market, and it was no big deal. But there were some other things that I've discovered that if we're not present there, we were in a different world, a different economy, and it turned out to be no big deal. The fifth economic cycle tried to peak in with the dot-com bubble. And since then, coming out of the 2002 low, is where the sixth long-term economic cycle, the current cycle, was born. And it is the deflationary downturn out of that cycle that the Fed has been fighting ever since. If you think about it, looking back, the real involvement with the market and the Fed and trying to bridge the gap, I think was a term they used back then, coming out of the 02 low, they pushed the market up into the 07 high. That created the longest extension of a four-year cycle in the history of the stock market, and it resulted in the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. Everybody's forgot about that. That's how they termed it. So that was the first attempt, the 07, the decline of the 07 high was the first attempt for this sixth long-term economic cycle to decline. The second attempt came in 2020. So as we all know, coming out of the 09 low, they pushed it again, with QE and every other trick in the book, and pushed us into the 2020 top, and we got that decline. You know, that was attempt number two. And then coming out of that low, we know what happened, all the COVID stimulus, et cetera, et cetera. And the inflation that we've seen since then, you know, that helped to keep the bubble alive, and now here we are. And so as we move into 2024, I think that the, with all that said, I think that the important thing is that the setting up, I believe that there is a good chance that we're going to see the setup for the decline, the third attempted decline out of this sixth long-term economic cycle. So it's not just, you know, a market top. It's a major turn that will occur with a market top. And so that's why I think 2024 is going to be so critical.
Tim, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I guess that's pretty much it. Anyone interested in the details, of course, I'm covering and will be monitoring all of this in the research letter. And in fact, the January letter is a good summary of the things we're looking at and reasons for, you know, behind a lot of the details of this six long-term economic cycles and the various components and what we'll be monitoring as we move forward.
Tim, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.